This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 30th of January 2022. Today is the Anything Goes edition where the content isn't guided by a set theme. So we've got a mixed bag of stories for you with an announcement of a special event call sign marking a significant anniversary in radio, that being the 90th anniversary of the Australian Broadcasting Commission, and we have a couple of items about the early days of amateurs and broadcasting in Western Australia. Mac, VK6MM, has sent us another interesting story of his early days in radio, and Glyn reminds us of the Northern Corridors radio group's fantastic raffle. That looks pretty good. I'll be buying a ticket, at least. And finally, the antediluvian Roy's helpline, which has been with us for longer than the rest of us have been with us. And News West is your local Western Australian amateur radio news program produced by WA Amateur Radio News. Our website is vk6.net and you can contact us by emails to newswest@vk6.net. I'm Bob, VK6POP, the News West producer, and let's get on with it.
Hello, I'm Chris, VK3QB. Did you know that 2022 is the ABC's 90th anniversary? That's right, our national broadcaster celebrates her 90th birthday this year. Amateur radio commences an on-air campaign to help celebrate the ABC's 90th anniversary with fellow amateur radio operators across Australia and around the world. The ABC and amateur radio have a lot in common. Both utilise the magic of radio wave propagation, and for the best part of 100 years, this magic has informed, entertained, saved lives, and brought people together. Our world is a smaller place thanks to the magic of radio. During 2022, amateurs from across Australia will be using the special event call sign VK90ABC to make contact with other hams here at home and around the world. We'll be talking about our national broadcaster, its history, and helping Artie celebrate this magnificent milestone. This will also be a great opportunity to promote amateur radio and showcase ourselves to the broader public. Stay tuned, and later in this broadcast, I'll tell you how you can get involved.
If you've been waiting, ticket sales are now open. On the 29th of January, the NCRG kicked off its 2022 Australia-wide raffle, and we've got some great prizes lined up. First prize is a Yaesu FTDX-10 Compact HF SDR, valued at over $2,000. Second prize is a Yaesu FT3DR handheld, valued at over $500. And third prize is a Yaesu FTM7250DR mobile, valued at nearly $400. Ticket sales are $5 and transacted online via raffle link or via cash sales at the NCRG Clubroom. There's no limit to ticket purchases, and you might try one of the ticket packages. Go to the NCRG website for full raffle information, terms and conditions, and to find the online link for ticket sales. Winners will be drawn 12 noon Western time on the 30th of March, so ticket sales will close the day before. Results will be published on the NCRG website, although if you're a winner, you can also expect a call. This is Glyn, VK6PAW, on behalf of the Northern Corridor Radio Group in Perth.
Tuesday marks the anniversary of the Woorooloo bushfire, which burned nearly 11,000 hectares of land from Woorooloo through to Bullsbrook, almost destroying 86 houses, a large number of outbuildings, machinery and infrastructure. Most people who lost houses are still living in temporary accommodation, either on their properties or on some alternative location. There's quite a handful of amateurs who live in the fire-affected area. Some were affected directly, and others less directly. One outcome of the fire is a strengthening of the community. People are saying things like, "I've been living here for 15 years and hardly knew anyone. Now I'm meeting them all." We're marking the anniversary with a time of reflection this afternoon at 3 p.m. at the Gidgeganet Recreation Centre. You're welcome if you want to come. Another reason I'm telling you this story is that you may recall that last year I planned to hold Perth Tech in Gidgeganup to show a bit of support to the community. I'd like to plan it again for Gidgeganup this year, COVID permitting. However, the previous venue, being a football venue, wouldn't be available. It's footy season. I'm sussing out another nearby venue, and if it's possible to hold a live event, hopefully it will be held there. Our alternative plan is to hold it online. Let's see what COVID says.
This is NewsWest from VK6 ARN, produced by amateurs for amateurs, purely about the hobby of amateur communication and experimentation.
Originally owned by a West Australian farmers cooperative, now known as West Farmers, radio station 6WF transmitted its first broadcast on Wednesday, the 4th of June 1924, and was the last Australian station to operate under the sealed sets scheme. Sealed sets were manufactured to only listen to the radio station that they were licensed to receive. 6WF was operated from a studio in the Westralian Farmers Building in Perth. The Premier of Western Australia, Philip Collier, made a speech on air to mark the opening of the station. The station was equipped with a transmitter that was the most powerful allowed under Commonwealth regulations. It was intended as a source of information and entertainment to rural areas. The station's original broadcast footprint covered most of the state of Western Australia. In 1929, the radio station was sold to the Australian Broadcasting Company. As a result, the radio station moved from the Westralian Farmers Building to the ESA Bank Building on the corner of Hay and Milligan Streets in Perth. When the Australian Broadcasting Commission was founded in 1932, 6WF became part of the national network.
My first transmitter by Malcolm MacDonald, recorded 27th of January 2022. Having obtained an amateur call sign, it seemed reasonable to attempt construction of a transmitter so that I could sprout it ad nauseam. My friend John, VK6ZAN, gave me a dozen or so 12AT7 twin triode valves, salvaged from some sort of digital equipment where cathode poisoning could cause problems if the valves weren't replaced periodically. I also paid him £1, a notable sum of money for me in those days, for an 8054 kHz crystal, which was housed in a rather large holder compared with today's types. Dennis Cook, VK6AW, provided a source of butterfly capacitors salvaged from ex-military equipment. I needed four of these, which further depleted the coffers. The arrangement used four 12AT7 valves. One is a crystal oscillator, followed by a doubler utilising the other triode in the same envelope, then two push-pull triplers and a final. The crystal should give an output just above 145 MHz if all of the tuned circuits are on their correct frequency. The chassis was cut and bent up from a sheet of 24-gauge galvanised flat iron left over from flashing of a roof. Other parts, such as valve sockets, were easily purchased from Atkins in Hay Street. The power supply and modulator were on hand, as it were, in the form of an existing public address amplifier, several of which were underfoot. Meeting was achieved by switching the movement salvaged from a defunct RF ammeter. Without the thermocouple, it had no damping and swung about wildly, but with patience it was capable of indicating grid current and final plate current. The balanced RF output connection utilised a pair of spring terminals. Television had arrived in WA, and along with TVI it brought the ready availability of 300 ohm ribbon cable. This could be connected quite easily to the spring terminals. It could also be cut to make a rudimentary folded dipole. The day for serious testing arrived. I had no 2-metre receiver, but another friend, Tony, VK6ZBO, who lived up the hill in Mosman Park, had some sort of receiving equipment, probably a super regenerative receiver from an IFF set. On the appointed test evening, I loaded my transmitter and all its accompanying paraphernalia, including a 12-volt battery, into the tray of my Ford T truck and drove over to South Perth, and parked alongside a public telephone box in Melville Parade. With the transmitter going, I was able to enter the telephone box with the microphone on a long lead and ring Tony, who was listening on 2 metres. There was no need to waste tuppence on the telephone call, as I could hear him quite well on the telephone, and he listened to me via radio. Test successful. All I needed now was some suitable receiving equipment and a proper antenna at home. This was eventually arranged, and the 1287 special spent many hours on air. It was quite common then for two friends to work crossband, one on 6 metres and the other on 2 metres, while both putted about in whatever served as a shack. Regulations required call signs to be given at least once every 10 minutes, which strained the memory a bit at times. Charles Cassina and another amateur whose name and call sign elude me were regular users of this technique, as were John and I. I never did have much success calling CQ. Many amateurs used a receiver consisting of a home-constructed crystal control converter feeding into a disposals command receiver as a tunable IF. These receivers had limited frequency coverage, so many amateurs could not even listen outside the lowest half megahertz of the band, and those that could didn't normally bother. The rather low power didn't help much either. Whenever I wanted a dummy load, I used a quarter watt pushbike tail lamp globe, and even that didn't glow at full brilliance. Over the years, apart from home use and the occasional portable attempt, it was also pressed into service as the Fox on several Saturday evenings. I eventually gave it away to someone with the terrible affliction of desiring to acquire anything with valves in it. I just hope it eased his pain a little.
In the early days of radio in Australia, and no doubt many other countries as well, amateur radio operators were there. They were known as experimenters and amateur experimenters. Amateur experimenters were active in Australia from the late 19th century. Early experiments using devices that today would be described as bizarre, signals were transmitted for very short distances. The earliest record of a Perth amateur radio club that we've found so far is the Subiaco Radio Club, established in 1913. By the time we got into the 1920s, telephony had arrived and amateurs were experimenting with transmitting music. I guess they used a gramophone shouting at a microphone. At the same time, professional broadcast stations were emerging, and some of these had amateur experimenters in there on the team. In Perth, the group that became the West Australian Wireless Institute were located in the West Farmers Building, alongside the company's own team operating the WF broadcast station. In another item today, we tell you the story of WF and its transition into the ABC. One of the experimenters at the time was Wally Coxon, who became the manager of the WF station. Wally Coxon was described as the father of radio in Western Australia, acquiring the first experimental broadcast license in Western Australia. He used the call X-ray Yankee Kilo, and later known as 6 Alpha Golf, after becoming interested in wireless experiments as far back as 1907, Wally died as Victor Kilo 6 Alpha Golf in 1968.
Hello again, I'm Chris, VK3QB, back to talk a little bit more about the special event call sign, VK90 ABC, and how you can get involved. Commencing in February 2022, we'll be taking requests from Australian amateurs wishing to use the VK90 ABC call sign on air. We're hoping amateurs from around Australia will use the call sign on as many bands and modes as possible, and we're inviting everyone to take part. You can learn more about what we're doing by visiting the website www.vk90abc.net. Again, www.vk90abc.net. And sending an email to info@vk90abc.net. Once again, that's info@vk90abc.net. Everyone is welcome to apply. Help us celebrate the ABC's 90th anniversary. 73 from Chris, VK3QB.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
Well, that was a great announcement from Chris about the VK90 ABC special event call sign for the 90th year of the ABC. It was our pleasure to research and record a couple of historical items about the early days of amateur radio and broadcasting in Western Australia. It's apparent that amateurs, often called radio experimenters, were right in there with the people doing the broadcasts, and often were the same people. For a while, until West Farmers moved to other buildings, the Wireless Institute fellows were in there with them. I'd like to point out that in those days the Wireless Institute in each state was separate, and although they spoke to each other and sorted out things between them, a national body wasn't formed until 1925. Furthermore, that event happened at a Wireless Institute convention held right here in Perth, in the conference room of 6WF on the 7th and 8th of August, 1925. And I bet they all came over on the train. What a trip that'd be. So I guess the real centenary of the National Wireless Institute is in August 2025. Back to the ABC's 90th birthday, just reminding you that the website is vk90abc.net. Got that? The call sign is VK90ABC, and the website is VK90ABC.net. If you're interested in participating or want more information, look at the website or send an email to info@VK90ABC.net. So that's VK90ABC.net, info@VK90ABC.net.
Clubs play an important role in amateur radio, bringing people together to share information and skills, do all sorts of activities, and of course, to socialise. Next week is the News West Club Focus Edition. In this episode, clubs are given the space to promote themselves and what they are getting up to. It's your club's chance to bang your drum, blow your trumpet, and fly your flag. You may think that what your club does is pretty ordinary. However, to other people it may well prove fascinating, stimulating new ideas for something to get up to. There's a few ways to get a club item to us for News West. You could write and record the item in your own voice. This is the preferred method because it's your story and your voice. The more voices on the news program, the more interesting it sounds. If recording isn't an option, send your text to us, and someone from the news team can record it, or give us a yell and we can hook up on Skype or similar and record it from our conversation, with a guarantee that bloopers, ums and ahs and spousal interruptions, etc. can be removed from everyone's hearing. And we guarantee that Andrew sweeps the cutting room floor regularly. And you also have our guarantee that your club items are given priority for inclusion in the program, even if that means running overtime, or if it means that the regular news team are given a week off without pay. Why? Club Focus belongs to the clubs, so use it. Thanks to the clubs who regularly support the Club Focus edition. The deadline for your club item is noon Friday. Please send your club's contribution as email attachments to newswest@vk6.net.
We went to a lot of trouble this weekend to provide program space for and background to the story from Chris promoting the VK90 ABC special event call sign. We did that because we reckon it's a good thing for amateur radio and provides opportunities for amateurs, both individuals and groups, to get on air and work some DX, as this special call sign will be well sought after by fellow Australians and DXers alike. A story similar to the one we included in today's News West was sent to the team at the WIA National News for inclusion. As usual, there was no feedback from that news team, and the item recorded by Chris wasn't included. Instead, there was a one-liner in the DX section. A story about the VK90 ABC activation has been published on international amateur radio news sites. So why was Chris's item not put to air? I could give you a great amount of detail about who probably did what, but that would take a while. The big issue is that a good, constructive activity that will engage a lot of amateurs has been denied a spot in the national news. Why? Is it a bad activity? Well, no. It's a good activity, reviving the links between amateurs and broadcasters. It was left out of the WIA news because the Wireless Institute's board has a hit list of people it doesn't like. It doesn't matter how well you do something, how good an idea it is, it's all about whose name is on it and which club they are a member of. It's censorship for the wrong reasons. There are directors of the board who appear to have a personal grudge against Chris, In fact, against anyone they consider part of RASA, or News West for that matter, is given the cold shoulder, like me. I've had news items rejected for the most feeble of reasons. It's censorship and victimisation. Radio Moscow, perhaps? So you only hear stories from people who are not disliked by a board member. It's not the story content that's important, it's who wrote it. As I've said before, if that's the way you want to see amateur radio operating in this country, just sit back and watch it happen. I had decided to bite my tongue this year and not to talk about that mob, but honestly, they need a new board. They are useless and combative, and their behaviour reeks of victimisation, vilification and bullying, and it must stop. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
G'day again, it's Roy, VK6XV, with this week's Hotline, the 30th of January 2022. What do I have for you today? Let's have a look. I have for you an ICOM 7410. It's an IC7410 HF 100 watt transceiver, good condition, power cable and manual included, $950. There's an ICOM IC7000 HF VHF UHF 100 watt transceiver, good condition, power cable and manual, $900. There's a PowerTech 13.8 volt 20 to 22 power supply, 22 amp that is, power supply, $30. Any sensible offer will be considered. Contact Alistair, VK6 Alpha Lima India. The email address is alphalimaindia_kilooscar10@hotmail.com. alphalimaindia_kilooscar10@hotmail.com or phone 0407 992 335. 0407 992 335. Next group of items comes from Andy, VK6 Oscar X-Ray. He has QST magazines from January 2013 through to December 2016. One or two may be missing. There's also a large number of AR magazines from 2013 to 2019. And the odd one may be missing there as well. $30 a lot, or would rather not split. He also has a Kenwood Tango Sierra 2000 X-Ray in excellent condition. Serial number is given. Manufactured January 2011. It has upgraded finals and IF filters. Comes with manuals and no box available, but firmware is V1.12 installed July 2015, asking $1,600. Next item is a 10 meg GPSDO, whatever that may be, with ports using Trimble Thunderbolt, complete with antenna and cable, $350. There's a homebrew 150 watt, 23 centimeter, 1296, in other words, linear amplifier based on the Papa Echo 1 Romeo Kilo 1 solid state. Was that I? Romeo Kilo India, maybe solid state module, $450. There's a Diamond Sierra X-Ray 400 SWR meter, excellent condition, $120. Contact Andy. His telephone number is 0448-028-414. Telephone 0448-028-414. And finally, wanted, looking for a Yaesu 857 Delta HF transceiver, 100 watts. Anyone with one in good working order, please contact Rod Beta. And he's called sign VK6 Zulu India Mike, and that's his, also his email address, vk6zuluindiamike@gmail.com. vk6zuluindiamike@gmail.com if you have a Yaesu 857 Delta. Thank you, that's all for me, and if you have anything for next week, please contact me. VK6X-Ray Victor is the address, vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com, and 7-3 for me, and cheers to everyone from Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to all the contributors. The News West team this week was Mike, VK6KMS, Roy, VK6XV, Andrew, VK6AS was pushing buttons in the control room, and I'm Bob, VK6POP, and we gave Jeff the week off, without pay of course. Thanks to the broadcasters, relay operators and callback collectors. Next week is Club Focus, so you know what to do. You need to write up your club's news stories before you get on air and make some noise.